Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. We're listening to audio from the Corey Richens hearing today. We're about to take a listen to testimony from private investigator Chris Kotomios. He had detailed forensic digital evidence that was presented against Richen, especially Google searches, which included phrases such as, "Can cops force you to do a lie detector test?" "Luxury prisons for the rich in America." "Death certificate says pending. Will life insurance still pay? And if someone is poisoned, what does it go down on a death certificate as well as how to permanently delete information from an iPhone remotely. Let's go to the courtroom.
Sir, could you please tell us your name and spell your last name?
Sure, it's Chris Kotrodimus. Last name is Kotrodimos.
Thank you. Mr. Kotrodimus, how are you employed at this point in time?
I own a private investigation firm.
What's that called?
M20 Solutions.
How long have you been the owner of that firm?
About 7 months.
What did you do prior to owning that business?
I was a police officer for over 23 years.
And where did you work as a police officer?
I started my career in Raleigh, North Carolina. I moved to Utah and took a position with Salt Lake City Police Department, where I worked on the homicide unit there. In 2017, I took a position with the Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office on the homicide team there, and until my retirement in December of 2022.
Do you have any specialized education, training, or experience with forensic digital evidence?
I do, yes.
Could you briefly explain what that is?
Sure. I've attended several formal courses, one being a Cellbrite Certified Operator course, a Cellbrite Certified Physical Analyzer course. I've also attended a 40-hour cell phone analysis and mapping course through ZX. After using those skills for several years, I also attended a ZX 40-hour subject matter expert course on the same subject, cell phone, social media mapping, those types of things. My experience related to my testimony on those courses is I've worked either directly or indirectly on more than 200 homicides and major crimes. I've inspected and evaluated thousands of phone and social media records and phone downloads.
Thank you. What is your role in the case that brings you to court today?
I was retained by the Summit County Attorney's Office to evaluate digital evidence in this case.
And what evidence have you reviewed?
I reviewed several cell phone downloads or extractions. I've reviewed and analyzed call detail records and some social media records, things like that.
Can you tell us what the difference between carrier records and call data records are?
Yeah, so a call data record or a cell download is kind of what it's commonly called, is information that is extracted or downloaded from a phone onto some type of media, external drive, things like that. And it does so into a reader in which you're able to analyze the data that's contained within a device. That's a cell phone extraction or download. A carrier record or a call detail record is the regular record that you would have. It's the usage of the phone through your carrier. So it records the date and times of your calls, your texts, your data usage for a given period of time. And it can include location information, such as like tower data.
Can there be discrepancies between carrier records and the data that's extracted from a device?
Yes.
What would cause that?
Usually, sometimes it's because it just wasn't captured in the phone download due to a software limitation, but typically where we see it is through deletion of information on the device that does not match the carrier records that we receive from the phone company.
Did you analyze forensic extractions of an iPhone belonging to the defendant that was seized April 13th of 2022?
I did.
Does it contain digital information pertaining to the night of March 3rd and into the morning of March 4th, 2022?
It does.
What does that phone show? Well, let me ask it this way. What is the last time that that phone is used on March 3rd of 2022?
The last activity reported on the defendant's phone is an activity device movement at 22:33 hours or 10:33 p.m. on March 3rd.
When was the next time that that phone was used?
The phone was inactive and then ultimately unlocked at 3:07 a.m. on March 4th, 2022.
Was there anything that happened between those two time frames?
On that device?
On that device?
No.
Does the extraction of that phone indicate if it was moved in that time frame?
It does.
And how are you able to tell that?
Through the download. In this case, we use Cellbrite for the download. In the download, it gives an activity, like a connected device activity movement. Usually that's an indicator of another connected device, such as a tablet or a smartwatch or something of that nature. Those two devices will communicate with each other and report potential movement of the phone through that application.
Was there anything significant that occurred at 3:22 hours on March 4th?
At 3:22, yes, a 911 call was made.
Okay. So between the time that the phone is used at 3:07 that morning and 3:22, is there any activity that could be seen from the download?
There is.
What is that?
At 3:07, the device is unlocked. At 3:08 a.m., the device reports some type of movement. Either the device itself or a connected device is moving. At 3:12, the phone was unlocked. At 3:16, the phone was unlocked again. At 3:19, the phone was unlocked again, potentially twice. There was movement again at 3:21. And then at 3:22, the 911 call was made.
So roughly a time frame of 15 minutes between the first time that phone is used and the time that a 911 call is placed.
Correct.
Okay. Now, the attached device that's recording movement, could that be an Apple Watch?
It could be.
you have any way of telling from the extraction you you examined what that device was that was recording that movement?
So far in the extraction, I have not been able to. I may at some point, but at this point, no.
Okay. And as far as the movement, is this, what kind of movement is this? Is it significant?
It is significant, I think, for it occurring in a home.
And can you explain what that movement was?
Correct. So at 308, there's movement on the phone, or on a device is connected to that phone is moving. And it's it moves, I don't remember the exact amount of time, but I believe it's several feet. I do know that at some point, there was two movements right before the 911 call, and they're both significant. One was about 240 feet, it's like 74 meters and change. And the other one was about 130 feet. And this is right before the 911 call.
Before, okay, thank you. As you were analyzing the forensic data from that extraction, were you able to observe any noticeable patterns of deletion from that phone?
It appears that there is some deletion in that device.
Okay, and can you describe what is being deleted in that phone?
It looks like there's gaps in things like web history, web searches, particularly the call log. When a person makes or receives a call or a text, those are recorded in the call log of the phone. And there are texts from, there's messaging that is included in the carrier report, the call detail record, that I would expect to see also logged within the device that are not in the device.
Okay, so you're seeing those in the carrier records but not on the device themselves?
Correct. For instance, there's multiple calls and texts to an individual. I would expect to also see that retained in the call log of the device itself. And in a lot of instances, particularly in the weeks prior to the death, there's a lot of that is missing.
And from the carrier records, are you able to tell who those calls were going to?
Yes.
Who was that?
There are several people. But in as it relates to this case, one that stood out was a witness that has been mentioned as CL.
In those carrier records, were there logs of calls made to CL in January of 2022?
I don't recall January.
Did you analyze a forensic extraction of a second iPhone belonging to the defendant that was seized in May of 2023?
Yes.
When did activity begin on that phone?
The activity on that phone started shortly after her original phone was seized in April of 2022.
Were you able to observe internet searches on that phone?
Yes.
And did you create a PowerPoint of some of those searches?
I did.
And just for the court and counsel's reference, this is docket item 141. Were you able to tell when those searches were done?
Yes.
How did you do that?
There is a date and time stamp of the history, the web history. So for instance, if you visit a website and you click through it using your device, it will report what date and time that you did that connected to that website.
I see. On April 18th of 2022, did the phone access an internet site of an article entitled "What Happens to Deleted Messages?"
Yes.
On May 10th of 2022, did that phone access a site for an article entitled "How Do Police and Forensic Analysts Recover Deleted Data from Phones?"
Yes.
Did that phone ever, was a query placed in that phone quote, "Can cops, period, uncover deleted, period, messages, iPhone," close quote.
Yes.
Did that phone search, quote, "how to, period, permanently delete information from an iPhone remotely," close quote?
Yes.
Did that phone search, quote, "luxury prisons for the rich in America"?
It did.
Did that phone search, quote, "if someone is poisoned, what does it go down on the death certificate as," close quote?
Yes.
Were you able to tell when those things were searched?
The search themselves, there was no date and time reported for the individual search. However, I found corresponding websites to those searches that did have the dates and times in the web history.
And was there a certain time frame that these searches were made?
They were.
Can you describe what that was?
It was typically between, well, shortly after her original phone was seized. So from April, middle of April of 2022 through, memory serves me right, about August of 2022 off and on.
Thank you. Now, you mentioned your training with cell phone mapping using cell tower data.
Yes.
Have you employed that in your review of the evidence in this case?
I have.
And specifically, can you explain just briefly how cell phone mapping is done using cell phone cell tower data?
Sure. Sorry, I looked that way. I'm used to talking to a jury. So cell mapping is accomplished by taking call detail records that contain tower location in them and putting them into a piece of software that will visually show you a location on a map of which tower that device was accessing when it made or received a call or a text. So it takes lines of data and creates a map out of it.
Okay. And is that plotted on like a program like Google Earth?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. And are you able to tell any directionality from when a phone connects to a tower? Is there any directionality to that where you can tell approximately where that phone is transmitting from?
Yes. Yeah. So the cell phone, the companies report which tower the device is utilizing and which sector. There's an estimated range to that, which is a bit ambiguous on the range. However, it will tell us at least what side of the tower that the device was located when it made or received the call or text.
How many sectors are there on each cell tower?
Typically three.
And so if a phone is connecting to a tower through a certain sector, can you tell that it's someplace where that sector is for lack of a better word, broadcasting or collecting signals?
Yeah, so we can determine the orientation of the device to certain locations.
I see.
Yeah.
Did you map data from CL's phone extraction?
I did.
Were you able to track that phone's movements on February 11th of 2022?
Yes.
At any time, was it at or near a Maverick gas station in Draper, Utah?
It is.
And are you aware of the significance of that location in this investigation?
I am.
And what is that?
This is the location that CL had indicated to detectives that she bought drugs on behalf of the defendant.
Do you recall approximately what time of day that was? It was there.
She shows up on that tower near that Maverick at about 6:49 p.m. and remains there until about 8 p.m. on February 11th, 2022.
Does that phone make any calls or send any texts while at that location?
It did.
And to anyone notable to this investigation?
Yes, two people.
Who was that?
One would be to another acquaintance in which CL indicated she had purchased the drugs from, and CL was also texting with the defendant.
While she was at a gas station in Draper purchasing narcotics?
Correct.
On that day, did the phone go to a location in Heber City?
It did.
Was the mapping that you did of CL's phone consistent with the account that CL gave to law enforcement regarding that first drug purchase?
Yes.
Be able to track CL's phone movements on March 9th of 2022?
Yes.
Was the phone ever in Francis, Utah on that day?
It was.
Was it ever at or near the same Maverick in Draper, Utah?
It was.
Were there any communications from the phone at that time while it was at the Maverick?
Yes, at the Maverick, yes.
Did it communicate with any phone belonging to a person relevant to this investigation?
It did.
Who was that?
At the Maverick, it communicated with, I guess, corroborating witnesses to the drug purchase on the 9th. When the device was utilizing a tower in Francis, it was about midday on March 9th, and CL's phone was in communication with the defendant's phone.
Thank you. While she was in Francis, Utah?
Correct.
Did the phone go to a location in Midway, Utah, on or about that day?
Yes.
Are the movements that you tracked for CL's cell phone on March 9th of 2022 consistent with the information she gave to law enforcement in this investigation?
Yes.
Finally, I want to speak with you briefly about Mr. Eric Richens' phone. Did you analyze a forensic extraction of his phone?
I did.
When was the last use recorded from Eric's phone?
From memory, I believe it was about 9:58 p.m. on March 3rd, 2022.
And are the times that are on the extraction from that are populated in the Cellebrite download, are those what time zone are those given in?
Typically, the extraction is provided in UTC zero.
And so do you have to, so can you just briefly explain what UTC zero is?
Right, so UTC zero is Greenwich Mean Time. It's an effort by people that utilize data and do data investigations to try and keep everybody on the same time zone. Utah is in UTC minus seven during standard daylight time, and we are in minus six in daylight savings time. So from November of 2022 to about March 13th, I'm sorry, November of 2021 to March, I believe it was March 13th, 2022, local time in Utah was UTC minus seven.
Okay. So if those times are given on that download as UTC minus five, that would be Eastern Standard Time?
Correct. It would be 2 hours ahead of local Utah time.
So to adjust for Mountain Standard Time, you would have to go back 2 hours.
You'd have to subtract 2 hours.
Okay. Yes. And that's what gave you, can you repeat that, the last time that Eric's phone was used on March 3rd?
I believe it was 9:58 p.m. on March 3rd.
Okay, thank you. If I could just have one moment, Judge. Thank you, Mr. Kotrodemus. Those are all of my questions at this time. Thank you.
Counsel. You testified there are essentially two explanations for why things might be missing. One in a download. One is that it's not captured in the download, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that can happen.
It can.
Okay. And then the other is whether or not it's been deleted.
Correct.
Okay. In this case, all you can say definitively is that it's missing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, with regard to movement, that could be any device that is essentially attached to the phone through an app, correct?
It could be, yes.
Okay. And so You can't say, looking at what you analyzed, exactly what device that was, correct?
So far, no.
Okay. And you can't tell where that device was in terms of location, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So it's possible that that could have been a device attached to it from some other location, but the phone's recording it, correct?
It would be unlikely.
But it's possible. If it's connected to an app.
It depends on the range.
Okay.
So it would be impossible outside a certain range.
Okay. And there's a number of different ways to, or different programs, and forgive me, I am not an expert in this, so there's a number of different programs or extractions that can be done on phones, correct?
Correct.
Or different ways to do them.
Correct.
Okay. Did you perform an independent extraction on this phone?
I did not.
Okay. Or on any of the phones you've talked about today?
No.
Did you analyze any data prior to January of 2022 on either CL's phone or either phone, or I guess the first phone belonging to Ms. Richens?
I don't believe I did.
Okay. Were you asked to only look at a particular date range?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. Were you given the date range of interest?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you didn't cross-reference any communication or the frequency of communication between CL and Corey prior to January of 2022, correct?
Correct.
So it could be that they communicated all the time and you wouldn't have known.
Yes.
So this could have been just a normal course of communication between the two.
Sure. Yes. Okay.
Were you made aware of when the search warrant was, or when the first phone was seized?
Yes.
Okay. And were you given a copy of the search warrant?
No.
Okay. Were you made aware that the search warrant included evidence of homicide that they were looking at?
No.
Okay. And in that first phone, prior to Eric passing away, were you able to review any search history of the web browser?
Of whose device?
On the first device, of Ms. Richens.
Of Ms. Richens, yes.
Okay. And were there any searches related to fentanyl on that?
Not that I found. There were not many searches available to
and
look at.
Okay. No searches related to prisons either?
No, not in that time frame.
Okay. No searches related to deleting messages?
No.
And so all the searches came from the second phone, correct?
The web searches mentioned, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that was the phone that was seized after the search warrant was issued for the first phone, correct?
That was...
Because
yes.
That's the phone so that you got as a replacement, right?
Yes, okay. Correct.
I just want to return to this mapping, or move to this mapping that you discussed. Look at the mapping on the second phone of Ms. Richens?
I did not.
Okay. So the state didn't ask you to compare Ms. Richens' phone to CL's location at any point, correct?
They did.
Okay.
Yes, they
but
did.
You couldn't do it? Or didn't
no.
do it?
The records, the mapping location for those call detail records through Verizon are no longer available.
On the second phone?
On either phone.
Okay, so you were able to get them off of CL's phone, but because of Verizon, you weren't able to get them on Ms. Richens' phone.
Correct.
Okay. Um, And on that March 9th date, you discussed her being in Francis midday in the Maverick. What time was she at that Maverick?
It was about 3 p.m.
Okay. So after she'd been...
2 or 3 p.m.
After she'd been to...
She had been... She was at... She was in Francis around midday.
Okay.
And she was at the Maverick at about 2:30, 3 p.m.
Okay. Did she go back to Francis?
She went to Heber.
Okay. And she lives in Heber?
She does.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Thank you. Mr. Hill, anything further?
No, thank you.
So you can step down. Thank you.
There's more to come in the hearing, including a victim impact statement delivered by the sister of Eric Richens, who claims Corey Richens attacked her. That is coming up on the feed. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you walk in 10,000 steps.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.